Welcome, everyone, to the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI LSB Treasurer, and I chair this committee. And first thing we're going to do is establish an official quorum by doing a roll call here. So please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
No longer muted. Here I am.
William Heerwagon.
Yeah, present.
John Hoffman.
Present.
Noel Jameson.
Here.
Pat Logan. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson. Berthold Reimers.
Here. Yeah.
Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss. Michael D.D. White. M.K. Williams. Okay, we have 9, and that is officially a quorum. And so, I am going to move to adopt the following agenda. Okay, I move that this be the agenda. 1, call to order 7 p.m. 2, approval of minutes 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4, excused absences 5 minutes. 5, minutes approval 10 minutes. 6, treasurer's report 15 minutes. 7, general manager's report on WBAI's finances 30 minutes. 8, set next meeting date 5 minutes. 9, new business 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. And that is the motion on the floor. Any debate or anything on that? A debate or amendments or any whatever. Okay. Hearing none. Hearing no debate or anything, is there any objection to approving this agenda as read? Hearing none, it's approved without objection. Okay, the first thing is identify timekeeper. Who would like to be timekeeper?
Any timekeeper.
That's Jeffrey?
Yep.
Okay, Jeffrey Stern. Oh, one second. Jeffrey Stern volunteers to do it. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is a timekeeper. Next is excused absences. And okay, next is excused absences. The excused absence we've gotten a request for is that of Serene Roberts. Does anyone want to make a motion to excuse her absence?
I will make that motion, John Hoffman.
Okay. Is there any objection to excusing the absence of Serene Roberts? Hearing none, that's passed without objection. Next item is minutes approval. Ms. Williams here? The secretary here? All right. We raised a few things about the minutes last time, and and we were going to, we had it postponed, and she I think she was going to change some of it, but we haven't seen that. Well, okay, maybe what we can, do people want to just go past this, or do people want to postpone this till she shows up? If nobody says anything, we'll just move on to the next item, I think, okay? There's no objection to all of that. Okay. Let me make a note. Okay, the next thing is the treasurer's report. And I will give that. Okay. Not getting. I'm doing this one-handed typing business here, and it's not so great. All right, where is that report? There it is. Okay. At the May 10th NFC meeting, the National Finance Committee meeting, which we call the NFC, the executive director said that she's looking at all options regarding increasing revenue for Pacifica. She said she's looking at long- and short-term strategic plans with the PNB's Strategic Planning Committee. Long-term, she's looking at increasing Pacifica's presence on social media and creating the Pacifica brand. She's also looking at things like centralizing the management of websites and newsletters among the stations and monetizing the archives. She noted that there are continuing issues with cash and cash flow in Pacifica. She also said that just because she's talking about some specific short-term strategies, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's something that's going to be done. But she said that all options need to be looked at. Some of the short-term strategies being discussed are declaring bankruptcy and Chapter 11, signal swapping, going into receivership, turning some stations into repeater stations, and selling real estate. Regarding signal swapping, she noted that KPFK's signal is of great value, and some other stations in Southern California would be interested in swapping for it. And I will note that the swapping thing there is about KPFK. WBAI was not mentioned in that regard. The executive director informed the NFC that on Monday, the Internal Revenue Service had taken about $93,000 from Pacifica bank accounts. And apparently for unpaid taxes, but the executive director and the CFO were kind of scrambling at that time, and so it's not perfectly known why. And I said Monday, I meant a week ago Monday. The IRS hit four Pacifica bank accounts, including ones for the National Office, KPFT, and the Pacifica Radio Archives. To make things worse, the IRS overfunded its lien. The IRS had notified multiple banks where Pacifica has accounts that they wanted to seize the money. The entire amount of money that the IRS was looking to seize came out of a Bank of America account at the that the National Office uses. But Wells Fargo also removed about $43,000 to $44,000 from accounts held by Pacifica Radio Archives. Whoops, something slipped. held by Pacifica Radio Archives and KPFT. That's from Wells Fargo. On the day before the NFC meeting, Pacifica management and the people of NETA were scrambling to make sure that KPFK and the Pacifica Radio Archives were able to make payroll and not bounce checks that were already out when the seizure happened. And they're trying to claw back the excess money that Wells Fargo gave the IRS. and they're trying to find out what happened. From what they said at that time, they were saying that the finding out what happened with the IRS is going to be difficult, and they're looking to see if they can get at least some of the seized money back from the IRS itself. From what was being said on May 10th, this seizure was triggered by something that happened in 2016. Now, NETA didn't start working with Pacifica until 2018, and so they have to try to research what people were doing in Pacifica in 2016, and that can be very difficult. The triggering event for all of this may turn out to be anything from Pacifica actually owing the IRS tax money to someone not checking a box on a form that was filed. The CFO said she would get out a written report on this development in the next couple of weeks. The CFO's monthly income statement through March 31st preliminarily shows WPAI with a deficit of $193,800, but it also shows WPAI's revenue being up 10% and expenses up about 6% over last year. At the LSB meeting last week, we were told that the John Vernealy lawsuit, he's the guy who came in and took BAI off the air for a month in October 2019, that his lawsuit was over. He lost some of his lawsuit claims, but he won on the charge that he was slandered on WBAI. The arbitrator awarded him $300,000 for being slandered. That's a big hit. And Pacifica's general counsel says that this slander award is going to be appealed. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 24th at 8:30 p.m., and it'll be held by teleconference. Okay, that's it for the Treasurer's Report. Are there any questions or anything on the Treasurer's Report?
James,
go ahead, James Sagerton.
Okay, this is just by way of added information. I got an email this morning from the CFO indicating that the money that had been taken out of the KPFT account as an overage for the $93,000, it was actually, I think, $120,000 or $130,000 that was taken. So there was $20,000 or $30,000 overage there. And some of that money has been returned to the KPFT account, and she wasn't aware at the time she wrote the email whether the same was true of the archives account, but it looks like some of that money is coming back, not the principal amount, but the overage. That's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, that's good. They're making some progress on that. And again, when we heard this on the NFC, the executive director and CFO were fresh out of scrambling to do stuff about this because it hit just when the stations need to send the money in so that it can be, you know, put out for payroll. And so that's one of the main things they were very worried about was they got to make the payroll. All right. So we didn't get full information, but I think at next Tuesday's NFC meeting, we should hear a bunch more about this because they'll have had time to really figure out what's going on.
May I be recognized?
Say again?
May I be recognized? This is James.
Second, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I apologize. Right after I made that remark, that comment, I accidentally hung up the phone and I was disconnected. So I was just wondering if you had asked any follow-up question on that.
Oh, no, I just okay. Commented. Okay.
Good. Just catching up. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to have anything to say about the Treasurer's Report?
Yes, Bertol.
Bertol, go ahead.
Yeah. Are there any concrete or planned national fundraising set up to offset those shortfalls that we have right now, or any grants, acquisition, What's the story of the CPB filing?
Okay, national fundraising. This is something that some people have been talking about. The NFC, of course, doesn't do fundraising, but she's talked about some of these things. Some of that short-range stuff I was talking about, that's supposed to be going into that. There is also a task force on this, I believe, with the PNB that's looking into raising some dough somehow. I don't know if they've gotten to anything at this point in time. Let's see. Grants. I think they're going after grants. I have not heard of any grants coming in. So that's what I know so far. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments or anything on the Treasurer's report?
Yeah, Matt. Could I ask a question?
Oh, okay. Let's take a stack. Okay, give me some names. Who wants to talk?
Jack DePalma.
Matt.
DePalma.
Matt.
Okay, one second. Matt. Who is that?
Matt.
Pat?
Matt.
Matt Logan?
Matt.
Matt. Okay, and Matt. Anybody else? I have Jack DePalma and Matt Mazza. Anybody else? Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah, I
was on mute. My ad wants to be on the stack, please. My ad for the stack, please. And I'm
going to put you on there. Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah, I assume that the answer's already been given because it doesn't seem that there is one. They're pursuing the information about why the tax was deducted or removed from whatever the IRS did for that reason. So There will be an answer, you know, even if we don't get all the money back, that somehow this was because of this and this and this or that particular, right? I'm assuming. I have to believe that, you know, when they take the money, they got to give you some justification, some something to follow back.
Well, maybe. The way they were talking about this on the May, what was it, the May 10th meeting, they were not sure that the IRS really is necessarily having to give you a whole lot of information. They said they were going to look for it, and the IRS, the way they put it was, if you guess what it is, the IRS will confirm that maybe. But just asking them apparently doesn't get you a lot of information. And so, yeah, that was a part of the scrambling they were doing. I suppose at some point it will, you know, with this amount of money, it's very worthwhile for Pacifica to pursue this because, one, maybe we can get it all back. If somebody, if it's there because of the silly reason somebody didn't check a box 6 years ago, then we should get at least most of it, if not all of it, back. But also there's the possibility that what if somebody did it, whatever this is, again, we don't want to get hit again. So they really do need to find out what's going on here. And they probably, I suspect they'll be able to find out. All righty? Okay, next is Matt Mazza.
Yes, my question about that is, if we're a 501c3, a nonprofit tax exempt, there must have been something that caused the IRS to question the tax exempt status to cause them to withdraw the money. And you also have to understand this, the agencies act with impunity. If they choose not to answer, it seems there's not a lot you can do about it unless you have some kind of legal representation. So that is my question and comment. What thing caused them maybe to question our tax exempt status?
There are all sorts of ways of, you know, screwing up and getting nailed by the IRS. Yeah, it could be something on the order of, again, somebody didn't file something correctly and they think we're liable for income taxes. That could be. Again, they didn't know a week ago, and I still don't know now. But there are other ways you end up taxed, and there might have been something or other that could be taxed. Even if you're a not-for-profit, some things you might do might have a tax associated with them that you got to pay. So there might be that. Again, you know, some professional in the tax field would have to really go over that. I don't know, but I do know that it is possible for a tax-exempt organization to end up owing the IRS taxes. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then there was somebody else. Oh, yes.
Right,
I won't
here.
Mention your name, but you know who you are. What's your question?
Thank you. This is beyond strange and bizarre in terms of the seizure of those funds with its overage. So my two-part question is, first of all, Arthur Swartz, the general counsel, was at a recent Sunday CAB meeting, and he referenced notices that seemed to have gone to in California, a wrong address. However, there is a certain process that would have been through certified mail, return receipt. So I guess the question is there going to be some investigation as to what went wrong there so that it cannot possibly happen again? And such a report would seem to indicate how, would seem to give us some idea about how Pacifica officially responds to the IRS in terms of future protection and for this not ever happening again. Thank you.
All right. I think that, yes, they're really going to be looking into what happened here. As I said, if you don't know, you have the possibility hanging over you that it could happen again. And we certainly don't want that. I mean, if there's some legitimate reason why the IRS could grab $93,000 from Pacifica, if it's a legitimate reason, we got to find out why, because you know, it might be that somebody didn't fill out a form for the last 6 years, and we got to rectify that in a hell of a hurry. So, yeah, I haven't heard anything about stuff going to a wrong address. At the meeting, the CFO was asked if there had been any notices, and she said there had been, but it's a little murky about how, you know, what happened with those. But yeah, there's. You would think that if it went to a return, if it had return receipt and was, you know, all officially registered and all, that they would get it back and notice a wrong address. But I don't know. Anyway, an investigation, I am certain, is happening within Pacifica, and the next Tuesday, the CFO had said we're going to get a report on this in writing. And I hope that does, in fact, happen. And before we go any further, I need to read something here. This is some boilerplate. So, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee meeting, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings is to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for the meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. Again, if people just want to listen and all of that, they're welcome to do that, and they do not need to identify themselves. But is there anybody on the line right now who would like to become a member, in which case they have to tell us their name?
Yes, that would be me by that, please.
Well, yeah, I'll enter it in as your name. Okay, anybody else?
Paul, can I ask another question, Jack?
Okay, one second. Let me see if there's anybody else here who wants to be start telling us they're here so they can become a member. Anybody else who wants to identify themselves and say they want to become a member? Okay, hearing none. Jack, you wanted something else?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a twofold observation and comment. You said that we'll have to, you know, guess what they did. I believe in 16 they sold that Nakapon building, I think it's called, or the restaurant building that was next door to the Berkeley office. And that's just a guess. Like I said, my memory is failing me nowadays. I'm getting older. And the other thing was is that what Mr. Schwartz had said was is that when they moved the national office from Berkeley to L.A., it's possible that the mail got misdirected, and they also changed executive directors, you know, from 1920, 21, et cetera, just to state it the way it was said by the council.
Yeah, yes, that is the idea with selling the building. That is something that might very well be what did it. Something along those lines, because you can. There are all sorts of things related to that sort of stuff, and some things even a tax-exempt organization has to pay for. So there might be some tax liability that comes out of something like selling the building or doing some other thing that they might have gotten for. Or it could also be failure to file a form. Failure to file a form. Oh, we'll fine you for that. And then the fine starts accruing interest and it gets big. And then they seize stuff. So there's really no telling. And there it is. All right? Okay, anybody else? Okay. Hearing nobody else, we can move on to the next item, which is the general manager's report. And Bertold, go ahead. You're on.
Sure. So I sent my reports earlier today. I hope everybody read it. It's a short one-page Word document, and then the other page was accounts payable, agent payable. So that's my report. We have $10,000 in the bank. Besides the things that were not on that report, the month of April was not a good month. I mean, I heard Paul mention that we had, as far as net income statement is concerned, we had a good higher than normal month in March in revenue, and I think it's a lower than normal expenses in also in March. I don't think it was higher than 6. It was lower than 6% lower, up, or I think it was negative. So, but the month of April has eviscerated all that. You know, it was not a good month. And then it's always the same thing. Bottom line here is that Kristen Blasey was busy at KPFK, and so she didn't really have too much input in WBAI. We usually rely on between Kristen Blasey, Gary Knoll, Tony Bates, Corinne Ferrinari, Shows of Your Health, a little bit of Mimi, and a few other shows to raise like top 90% of our money. So a good 20% to 30% from Kristen Blasdale, and there has been none. There has been very little of her in April, and there might be very little of her also in March, in May. So that's that. WBI management is running out of ideas to have fundraising premiums. You know, we really need the producers to step up. And that's not happening. And I keep saying that over and over again, as you repeat the premiums, as you grow and find old premiums that haven't been aired for a long time, and we rehash them. At one point, that runs out. I mean, we've had a few lucky new premiums, like the olive oil or the shaga mushroom, things like that. But these things have run their courses, and we are right now, you know, facing, you know, like, we're not in a bad position right now. We are 10,000 short of our goal as of the 15th of the month, but it does not look good for the rest of the month, you know, because we're not running out of premiums. I mentioned before we did get a $11,000 grant from the New York City Department of Transportation. There was another grant that I'd apply for, Department of Arts, and she just informed me today that it does not look promising, so I have to call her to find out what does that mean, you know. So it was, as I said, a grant where she was going to interview WBAI artists, producers, and produce a documentary, and then WBAI ourselves were going to get, like, I don't know, two-thirds of the grant ourselves and a third for her. We filled out the forms together, but that doesn't seem that's going to work. That's going to happen. We also have a bequest of like $5,000 that should be coming soon as Arthur reaches out to their lawyer to confirm that BAI and Pacifica is the same entity. And so that will give us a little reprieve, but we need to make more money. That is basically my report. Listenership is growing. I think I said that at the last meeting. 6,500 on an average at 7 a.m., where it used to be 400. On Thursdays, it's 10,800. It's a huge number. We have a 1.0 share of the market. To put that in perspective, it used to be 0.0 or 0.1. Now it's 1.0 at places. Amy Goodman is still at 4,900, you know, 6,500 to 7 a.m. So that was a good move we made. I'm going to pat myself in the back for that. Amy Goodman, 4,900. 10 o'clock strip we've been working on is at 3,700. And then hopefully that the 11 o'clock strip also will pick up. And because this is a nice flow between like maybe 6 a.m. to noon, really. And, you know, they say that as listenership increases, eventually the money will come. But that might be too little too late. You know, we need the money to come right now. Listenership is increasing. I know there's a lag, but we really need the money right now. We also, Sojourner Truth has a huge listenership at 4 o'clock. And the 5 o'clock strip, the New York one on steroid that I call it, is finally picking up steam, about 3,000 and change, 3,000 to 3,500 listenership. These are huge numbers for us compared to, I don't know, 2 years ago. That's the only good news that we have. And the grant. Also, if you look at my report, I explained why we are having, you know, I gave you a report of outstanding payables that were missing some items. And when I caught that up, I reported them to the LSB, and then our Paul Martin, I made a point of that to indicate that. So I've been working very closely with NEDA and the CFO to establish norms and processes of checks and balances. I mean, even though I have a list of payables, sometimes I miss them because that's not really my job. I don't do this like normally a business manager should be doing this every day, opening the mail, checking the mail to look for bills and to post them. That's something I do on the side. So the national, the CFO has been very diligent in working with me on that, and they've been going over bills. So that establishes some form of checks and balances, which will help us hopefully in the next couple audits there was always this deficiency that there are no checks and balances. You know, I write the checks, I cut the checks, I sign the checks, and I post the payments to the bill. And so now, you know, the CFOs, you know, kind of, you know, discusses with me the bills, and they get all the invoices and stuff like that. So there's some form of checks and balances. It's not 100% what it should be, but with a lack of staff, we're establishing a little something here that, you know, that hopefully will be less detrimental in our next audit. That is it.
Okay. For questions, I'm going to go first. Let's see. You, what are your things on your narrative page here? You go down, and number 7 is the official financial statement of March 22 were completed, and the treasurer, R. Paul Martin, should have them for the committee. Well, okay. The way that works is the March financials, ending March 31st, that stuff has to be approved for release to the rest of the world, to the public, because those are preliminary numbers. Now, when the NFC says, yeah, they're released and you can release them to the public, then, yeah, they'll go out to the committee and probably the rest of the multiverse.
Okay,
also,
thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. I didn't realize that. I knew there was a first version sent to the National Finance Committee that I didn't see, and then they went and cleaned that up, the second version. So I didn't realize that it was not certified.
Certified, but anyway, on the accounts payable, you have some things listed like Empire State Building and Gary Null and Signius and WPFW. Now, we've paid stuff to them in the past, but they're all zeros right now, so why are they in there?
That's a good point. Okay, so because, you know, I've been working with the CFO and trying to figure out how to do a proper job of reporting these things, when I was running this report for the CFO recently, and as I was looking at the Excel spreadsheet, I realized that I was missing something. And so I typed it in there. And so I also usually I do clean up in an Excel spreadsheet. I delete those words. The Empire State Building is zero. Gary Null is zero. PFW is zero. So I would remove those things and I would clean it up. But now I've been to the point to just leave the whole thing as it comes from QuickBooks as is, untouched, so that it's right there. The way to get rid of this is really to go in the financial in the accounting, and then to have these things cleared up. Sometimes even when they're zero, you have to, you know, make entries or have them, you know, clear each other out. And then that's not one of the things that, you know, I do not want to mess around with, because, you know, once you mess around with this and it's unbalanced, then there's a lot of work to do to make sure that you find out what is hitting against what. So I just left it as that. That's what these zeros, and then they keep showing there.
Okay.
Was that clear?
Are you done, Berthold?
Yeah, was I clear on that? Or?
Yeah, I hear you. On the four times square thing, the message sent out to staff sounded like, you know, oh boy, this is going to be a really difficult thing, but you only have one payment here. Now, I guess, is the one payment we haven't given in yet, the one payment we owe four times square for May, or do we also owe April and you just haven't put May in yet?
It is May that we owe.
So we only owe May, okay.
We owed April and May until about 4 days, 5 days ago. So I was paid April. Yeah. And, so the message I sent to the staff is, thank you for pointing that out. Can I just interject and then you can finish with your next question, because that's very relevant. The phase two of our tower rent is going to be launched in June. I've already written a letter that we are that I've shared with the you know, the national office and a few people. I'm trying to figure out people who know how to write these letters to edit them properly to send to everybody who has an email who donated to the tower rent in drive in December, January, send them an email and following up and asking them if they can just do the same thing they did. You know, this is phase two. In the phase one, we raised about 80,000. I keep saying 80,000, 60,000. I don't remember the numbers. I can ask the webmaster to give me the final numbers on that. And so the tower rent is 16,000, about 17,000 a month. So you do that times 10, it's 160. You do it times 12, it's you know, close to 200,000. So that is why we are going into phase two. And I expect that, and I hope that the producers would put the same effort, energy, love, and into this that they did in December. If we could raise another 80,000, even though it's not going to raise all the tower rent money that's due for the year altogether, but it would take us a long way. You know, it would take us a long way. And so that's what we're going to do. We have to do this. We have to have a big fund drive push so that we can catch up on our bills.
Uh-huh. Well, let me bring up something else then. We were telling them in December and January that this is to, you know, make it so we the tower doesn't shut us down or anything. And are you a bit concerned maybe that people, especially people who donated to that, are now going to find out that it's not done yet and that we're asking for more for the same thing they've already donated for? Do you think that's maybe not going to go well with the folks who get those letters?
I am not sure how that's going to go. Well, all I know for sure is this is why, you know, I'm calling this a phase two of the operation, because the phase one was supposed to raise, I don't remember what number we put, like 200 or 250,000, because we were asking
250.
Because we were like two, three months behind at the time. No, never, not three, 2 months behind. So we wanted to catch up on those months and pay the whole rest of the year. So that was about 250, just a clean number. And we raised like 70, 80. So obviously we didn't reach our goal. So this is the phase two of the operation. And that's why I'm sharing the letters with other people so that they can understand clearly that this is not another fundraising for the tower. This is a continuation of the trying to get the 250 that we did not get. We just kind of shut it down after a month and a half, a month and a quarter, because we didn't want to keep on hounding people. But now, like 4 months later, 5 months later, it's going to be 6 months later, then we need to revamp that. And I hope, Paul, that it will work. If it works, it will put us in a decent position, considering, as you know, the situation of the network. We want to pay as many bills as possible, on time as possible. You know, especially right now, there's a priority. You know, I used to have a priority of paying first the payroll, and then the tower rent, and then the rent, and the consultants. Now, and then health benefits. Now, you know, the new directive is payroll one, health benefits second.
Yeah.
Tower rent third, and probably rent fourth, and consultant fifth, and other bills. So if we could get rid of the tower rent, then, you know, that would alleviate the stress. It's a lot of stress on BAI.
All right, but we understand that we have a certain pool of people with that all this dough is coming from, so you've got to be careful about fatiguing their donation genes. Okay. All right, anything else on that, Bertold?
No, I mean,
okay.
It seems to me that the way to go is to try to get small grants. You know, it's I've overheard mention that WBI and Pacifica were not getting grants because the grantors are saying that our situation is so dire that they're not going to throw good money into bad. I have issues with that. First of all, most not-for-profit organizations get a third of their money from grants. So if you look at WBAI, who brings in about $1.2 million a year, that's $600,000. So if we were to get another $600,000 in grants, which would not be something egregious, that's normal for not-for-profit to get a third of their money in grants, $600,000 would make us look like a brand-new baby, brand-newborn baby, fresh. And so I kind of resent that argument by the so-called people who are giving us money to say that we are not in a good position to get grants. I would argue we're not in a good position because you're not giving us grants.
Okay.
I mean, obviously we cannot be aggressive telling people who are giving us money that, but, you know, this is an argument we need to make.
Right.
So I think that the way to go is to look for small grants, small monthly grants. Like if we could get like 10, $500 donation a month grants from organization, that would be like, you know, 5,000, you know, like 10,000. And so that could alleviate the stress we have. And then, so these are the kind of things we're looking at. Linda and I, we checking out the Department of Health, different small organizations to see if they can give a few hundreds or a few thousand a month regularly. And
yeah,
that seems to be the only way we can alleviate the pressure on the same listeners you're mentioning, Paul, that keep on giving us.
Okay. Are there any other questions or anything for the general manager?
My ad on the stack.
Michael White, just to be noted that I'm here.
Okay, why don't we do this at this precise moment? Let me go down the list here and see who's here. Now, Pat Logan isn't here. Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Is Daryl McPherson
here?
Is Daryl McPherson here? No. Okay. Neil Voss, are you here? Michael D.D. White, you're here. Is M.K. Williams here? Can you hear her? Did you say that Carolyn McIntyre will be on soon? I don't know. I've gone over those people. And I'll have to make another announcement in a minute, but go ahead.
Is that
right? Yeah, you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I have several points, so maybe I might need to go a second round. But first of all, I can help with the writing and editing. Berto mentioned a form letter or a well-crafted letter that needs to go out. We must put aside, I mean, this country is literally unraveling, so we must come together, these assumptions and perceptions, and running away from the truth cannot stand, and that relates to the grant issue. So I'm almost blue in the face in terms of how we have to get the listeners, because you're somewhat shut out of the CPB because of the listener question, and KPFA, I think it is, has given us a model that we used to have, and that is especially now, and I can help to literally craft. I do a pro bono project because without the transparency where you're coming to your listener and your collective and the people who come up with the ideas might have connections with angels out there, but you cannot ignore them. So put on your best suit, your best dress. It doesn't have to always be Linda and Bertha, but you go through at least the motions, and hopefully it'll come out at a the fakery and the facade of coming to your listener every 4 weeks now. That's urgent. And when you do it, report to and from the listener, you need to say that you're going to. You make that commitment every 4 weeks, at least until we out of emergency mode, as it were. And I can actually help with crafting how you explain some of the things going on. Now, suggestion, okay, I have seen, and thank you, Bertho, for acknowledging, and Linda said it a few meetings ago, the pattern of you know, things that we loved months ago and we even have in hand, too many people are going to NPR or what have you. So what you the suggestion is, because I have, let's say, a special relationship with a particular publisher who is a perfect publisher for BAI in many respects, and with other publishers, but there needs to be a memo that goes out to producers, because in two instances, someone who on air was greatly excited about a particular book when I and then missed an email, and then when I finally made the connection and sent it to him, his assistant basically felt that the books were for him and might be in some remote location. So I'm going to unravel that. And in another instance, because we're so snarky with each other, there was an opportunity of someone doing a new program who I sent a trove of books. And when I went to follow up, because I love books and I wanted to have at least a few minutes chat about impressions, maybe I would have tuned into some other podcasts they do, that on the air, I was told, that's personal. And you know, so the memo that needs to go out to the producers, actually two memos, and I'll email Linda on this too, is you need to say to producers to be for them to be open to working with the community in terms of premium. Now, book premiums can really stretch in terms of you can bring your listeners in, because that we forget that that's when we had some of the biggest fundraisers for some part of the segment. You can have a follow-up discussion. Now, there'll be some that will get the book on the market to be a part of that, but you can get people who have the means in some follow-up. And there is a producer who's quite open to that approach and is very excited about a particular book on a particular area of his interest. So that's good. But you get out a memo, you tell in an upbeat way your producers, you know, we have some people coming forward, want to connect with you, be open, basically, and I can help with any letter or memo. The other memo you need to get out, possibly by Linda, is to give people ideas for little things that bring in your listeners. So trying to grab a pen and things telling them in a very brief and upbeat way to, you know, make sure you, first of all, using the name of your guest, because if you miss the beginning of the meeting or whatever they should be, you could tell them a suggestion, and Amy does this sometimes, where you use the name of your guest, some part of their name throughout the interview, because that holds interest. People, well, who is he talking to? What is the name of the book? And when you give out a number or a website, you let people grab a pen and you repeat it slowly. In other words, little things are missed, and listeners will subconsciously notice these little things that, well, they're not really little things, but these things that bring them in, and just from a memo given your producer, and your producers are feeling, well, you know, you're paying attention, you're caring about us, and hopefully they will use some of those ideas. So I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions for the general manager?
Staff, Serene Roberts, GM.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
I am now, thanks.
Can I address some other thing I asked you, or and
okay, you wanna, Berthold, you wanna answer that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Berthold. And then we've got Serene Roberts. Go ahead.
Report to the listener, I agree with that. We're trying to incorporate it as part of the schedule. It's difficult because we're already taking 3-4 hours a day of fundraising. And so it's like always seems to me, to us, more important to use those 2 hours, those 2 extra hours to make money than to talk to the listeners. But, you know, that's something that we're going to have to work on. So as far as writing, I will welcome that. I'll send you the letter. As far as books, so, that idea came from way back. Tony Bates and I were discussing how we are going to use, like, people like Richard Wolff and the likes to never have pitching, but to have them do their show and present things and then appeal to people to donate money to just support the show. We are kind of being semi-successful with that, with Leonard Lopate and Dream Leapers. Harriet Cole, you know, always has people, has a lot of people who have books or seminars or things that that they have produced. And in her show, we'll come in and have and then we'll present 5 books available for $50 to donate to Jisho as your favorite show, and then you get a book signed or something like that, the book that we are discussing right now. So with Lopate, with her new assistant, Keziah Glow, she's very good at that. She's very diligent, and also she's looking into getting paraphernalia and things like that so that we can, when we used to use Zazzle or something like that, so she's working on that. And we have been moving a lot of books, you know, that are presented throughout the 4 days that Leonard Lopez is on the air. And that's what we're working on.
Okay.
So that's basically it. Encouraging producers to communicate with the listeners, these are basically the call-in. And Maya, you may not be aware of that because you don't get those emails, but, you know, management used to send a lot of emails to the producers with a list of CDs and things like addressing different issues, subject, African American or conspiracy or health, different type of stuff. We used to have that available to them and asking them to choose what it is that they have that is, you know, comparable to their show, and then we would help them. We do the negotiating with the centers and stuff like that, and then we were trying to figure out how to help them pitch those shows. So we have done that. So I'm done.
Okay, Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks, Bertho. A few things. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to thoroughly read your report, but I do have some questions about it. I'd like to know what the story is with the Good Search money and what is being done to recover that. I know it's only $1,000, but there are people we owe more than $1,000. I'm sure they'd be happy to have that money. So please respond to the PayPal thing. If for only for no other reason, then I don't want to have to hear Daryl call one more time and talk about it. Really, come on. There's money sitting there. What's the problem? What's the story with the, what was it, $5,000 or something that was trapped in PayPal? PayPal is not being very kind to left media. What's the story with our $5,000? And what would be helpful to me, I don't think you can do it right away, is that you gave the summary of outstanding bills, the payables, and you have several categories, 0 to 31, 31 to 60, 60 to 90, and then 91 and over. I would really appreciate it if you could prepare, not obviously for tonight, but to give us the breakdown of the period of time that we're looking at with regard to the $566,000 that's owed to the National Office and Central Services, the $269,000 that's due to the archives, the $172,000 that's due in healthcare bill backs, which I guess other units have kicked in to pay, and the payroll costs of $145,000. I think all four of those were 91 days and over, but is that like 91 to what? How far back does that go? So if you could do that for next month's meeting, I'll send you a note to remind you if you'd like. I would very much appreciate it. So those are my three questions, quickie questions with regard to financing. And then I have a couple more, but I assume there are others on the stack, other people who want to.
Okay, I have two questions I can answer quickly, and you can tell me what was the third one. But one of them is the good search. You are definitely right. This is something that was set up by Grayson. Grayson has been missing in action. He's been busy taking care of himself. Thank God he's back. Yesterday he was at the station. I talked to him about it and trying to figure out how to go about retrieving that money. But the good search was set up by Grayson. And with Andrea, and I need to figure out how to tap into that and get that money and get them to send us the money. So that's that for the good search. Concerning the 90 days and over, that would be my pleasure. It's very easy, actually. It's not that difficult. You just click on the numbers, the 90-day numbers, and then it gives you all the items by month. So I will make that available for the finance committee next time around. I think I give a report like that, more or less, but not very systematic on every single item. I think I was focusing on one item specifically. I don't remember which one that was, but I will make that available at the next meeting, or even before that. We're talking about 6 years back. We're talking about going 6 years back.
Okay, well, however that far it goes. And the PayPal $5,000?
The PayPal $5,000 I've given up on that. I had given access to the webmaster to our PayPal account, to try to do some of the technical wizardry to go after this thing, and then we lost it. Also, there was also the major donor that had given us the $5,000 that we could not deposit in the bank because it says WBI, the grants, and then we lost that also.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to ask a new question. I do have other questions, but let me ask, what do you mean we've given up or lost it? I don't understand.
There's no reprieve with PayPal. PayPal is kind of a one-directional thing. You can't really talk to them. You're going back and forth filling out form. There's a form, a complaint that I filled out, and I thought maybe I didn't do it right. I had the webmaster do it again himself, thinking that I didn't know what I was doing. Well, apparently, he filled out the same complaints, and then it has not worked. PayPal has not answered. So that's why
But the idea was to have, because the problem is not that we didn't pay the money or that PayPal doesn't have the money. The problem is that the vendor is on lacks the skill to, or lacks the knowledge to retrieve the money. So why can't we ask Chris to walk the vendor through the process of getting the money out? You don't just give up $5,000. That's a month's rent.
Yes. Okay. So quickly, you are absolutely right about that. It does not make any sense. That vendor we almost have a very bad relationship with right now, because this is a vendor who told us that we could give her private cell phone to those people because she was also giving a consultation, and I told her that was a bad idea. And she got swarmed by WBI people, and then she accused me of whatever. I told her that was a bad idea. Second, sometimes when you do not have a good relationship with someone, you have someone else communicate with them. So I had the webmaster who thought he could you know, talk to these people and work it out. And what happened is, as of now, the webmaster, after 2 or 3 months of following up, trying to get in a Zoom with her to have her set it up and then get the money, did not succeed. So that is, you know, let me add that it is amazing that you would be amazed to see how many vendors and small people we deal with cannot even generate an invoice. They just lack the ability, the skills, the staff, or whatever.
My add-on to that.
That's $5,000. I'd like to get back on. Thanks.
All right. I hear the timekeeper calling time some minutes ago now. How many people are there who I have? Michael White is on. Wanted to say something, and some other people. Anybody want to make a motion to extend the time for this particular item?
Move to extend by 5 minutes.
15 minutes, please.
I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Well, he moved to extend by 5 minutes. You want to amend that? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, 1 second. Okay, all right, so there is a motion to extend by 5 minutes, and there's an amendment to that to make it 15 minutes. Okay, is there any objection to extending for 15 minutes?
James. James, objection.
Okay, there is objection, so what we need to do at this point is do a vote. All right, 1 second here. Okay, 15. Okay. Okay. All right, so the amendment would make it 15 minutes, and that's what we're voting on. If you want it 15 minutes, you vote yes. If you don't want it, you vote no. Okay, Jack DePalma.
No.
William Heerwagon.
Yes.
John Hoffman.
Yes.
Noel Jameson.
Yes.
Pat Logan, R. Paul Martin, I'll pass. Matt Mazza?
Yes.
Carolyn McIntyre? Daryl McPherson?
No, no.
Okay, that's Carolyn McIntyre?
Yes, that's Carol. Yes, it's Carolyn McIntyre.
Voting no. Daryl McPherson? Bertold Reimers? Bertold? Welcome back. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
No.
Jeffrey Stern? Jeffrey Stern? Welcome back. Neil Voss? Michael D.D. White?
No.
M.K. Williams? Okay, going back to people. Whoops, it skipped. All right, Pat isn't here. Let's see. Okay, it goes then to me. Okay, I'll say no. Daryl McPherson, Bertold Reimers. Bertold, are you on mute? We know you were here. Well, I don't know what's with Bertold. Okay. Jeffrey Stern. Jeffrey Stern? These people who are here aren't replying. Neil Voss. M.K. Williams. Okay. 5-4, 5 against. So that does not pass. Okay. So we're back. We're back to the main motion is to extend by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, it is extended for 5 minutes. And I hope that Mr. Timekeeper can hear me when I say it's 2024. So Michael White was the next person up on the stack. Go ahead, Michael White.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Berthold whether he's familiar regarding PayPal with the situation, and we've broadcast this on our air with Consortium News and Mint Press revealing that PayPal has a policy that any money that they hold, they view as their money, and if we do anything that they view as an information, if we broadcast disinformation on WBAI, they view that they can seize that money and just never give it to us. I don't know if Berthold is aware that they have that thinking and policy, and they've exercised it with Consortium News and Mint Press News, but we should always be clearing out our PayPal accounts as fast as we can.
Okay, I don't know. Berthold, are you there? I don't know if Berthold's on this call anymore. I don't know what happened. But okay, there is that. Mr. Timekeeper, are you on the call? Jeffrey? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So we started at 2024 for 5 minutes. So we're going for another, 3 minutes or so. Okay, anybody else? And Berthold, are you here? No. Anybody else for this stack?
Yes, my aunt here, but if Berthold...
Go ahead.
Is Berthold on mute?
We don't hear... I can't hear Berthold, so I don't know if he's on or not.
Okay, let me just say for the record then when it's my turn.
It's your turn. Go ahead.
This situation with PayPal... First of all, you need to do a simple, well-worded, certified mail return receipt, and you need to find out who and it's usually quite a search because they're all hidden, a lot of them. Very hard to find out who their executive offices are. But you need to put them on notice from what Michael seemed to say, because... That's beyond rageous, although we're roaring into totalitarianism. But in terms of, I hope this gets through to Berthold, because he mentioned about the grant, and I just wanted to correct him when he said report to the listener. It was more, in December, it was crafted as report to and from the listener. Those last three words are key and important. And until you bring that transparency and people feel a level of confidence, I mean, you remember when they tried to come in and take over the station, it was the staff that saved the station. So you have too much indifference, disgust, and sympathy. So you must build that up, and when you move toward these grants, you must, and you could start out with the appearance of transparency at democracy, but it has to go further. You must do, and this is coming out in the CAB recently, you must have start out as a task force, because I guess it was late last year we found out about a situation of a young sister who was being sexually harassed. I can't remember the details, but the truth finally comes out, and that came out on the air and in a special webinar. But that sister had no, especially in that situation, had nowhere to go in terms of opening a complaint. We heard Grace Aaron several years ago with Bonnie Faulkner, who said that when they were trying to defend themselves against these sexual improprieties, et cetera, lawsuits, that the personnel records were in a shambles. So you must put up a front to people that you're both getting your act together, and you must, the perfect way to do a big PR splash is to say if there's a problem and the left does the firing squad circle, so you don't even have a way when there's a problem or a conflict or sexual harassment or grab the grip. And this is going to come out with the oversight agency, so you can't avoid it. And if you want grants, you must. That's a perfect concrete and substantive idea to deal with it. And make sure, in fact, I'll follow up with an email to both Bertho and Linda. That is so key. That is so key. You know, I have this expertise, but I can't connect it to anybody. Thank you, though.
Okay. I don't know that Berthold is here, so I don't know if he's going to hear that. And Mr. Timekeeper, how are we on?
I'm here.
Berthold's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr. Timekeeper, how are we on time with this?
I think we're over. I think I did.
We're over time. Okay. I guess we then see if anybody wants to make another motion to extend the time. If not, we will move on to the next item.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we move on to the next
Point
item.
Point of information, please.
Yes. What is the question?
Did I miss the treasurer's report?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Before we move on, I need to do this again. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member... Oh, okay, that's an echo. Could people please mute or something, because I'm getting a big echo in there. I'll start that again. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI LSB that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. And so I will now ask, is there anyone on the call who would like to become a member and would like to give their name for that purpose?
Yeah, hi, it's Bruce Greif.
Bruce Greif, okay, Bruce. Okay, I got your name in there. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none. What do people want to do? Do people want to ask more questions of the general manager and extend this, or do people want to go to the next item? I'll say that. Does anybody have a motion to extend the general manager's report at this time? Hearing none. We'll just go on